The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a Sunday night stunner. Baker and the Browns with a huge statement that changes absolutely everything. What a night. Then, speaking of changing the narrative, Lamar Jackson off the postseason schneid. Are his Ravens now a sneaky Super Bowl contender? And then, tonight is the night. Alabama, Ohio State, which unbeaten powerhouse will become king of college football? We will answer all those questions and more as we get up with you starting right now on a fabulous Monday off an incredible weekend. Greeny, Rex Ryan is here and ready to go, and we're not alone. We got Dan Orlovsky with us this morning. We got Ryan Clark working on very little sleep but fired up, and we are ready to roll because we've had six games this weekend, but we've saved the best for last. Tonight, of course, we've got in Miami, Alabama and Ohio State for college football's national championship. You'll see it on ESPN, and we will get you ready for that after we take you through this. The upset of the night, Dan Orlovsky, Steelers, Browns. Browns with absolutely everything going against them all week. Their coach isn't there. All the COVID concerns. Barely practiced. But then the very first play from scrimmage, Dan, what?
Well, Marcus Pouncey's going to step hard to his left. And when he goes hard left, that right hand in that shotgun snap always going to drift high and right. And he knows it. That completely is on him. Horrible start for Pittsburgh.
That's the first offensive play of the game. And then it gets worse.
Panic with the football. The pressure on Big Ben. He panics with it. That ball sails on him, trying to find that check down. Awesome job by Cleveland. Catch the ones they get thrown to you.
The Browns take over and they turn to Jarvis Landry, and Jarvis Landry does the rest.
Greeny, it was a really good job on the route with him widening, getting away from the defender. We know he's great with the yards after the catch once the ball's in his hands.
14-0, but they're just getting started. Here comes Kareem Hunt. It's 21-0.
Big boy football by Cleveland's offensive line. A remarkable cut by Kareem Hunt, and then the ability just to finish near that goal line.
Hold on. We're still in the first quarter. Steelers second and 20. Ben, oh, you're kidding me.
High and hot. The throw is high and it's hot to Diontae Johnson. We know that he's had some drops this year. Again, Cleveland did a great job of just catching tips and overthrows. You've got to catch those against playoff football teams. Their defense showed up and did that last night.
And so a pick leads to a Kareem Hunt touchdown, and then another pick leads to another Kareem Hunt touchdown, and the Cleveland Browns become the first team with 28 points in the first quarter of a playoff game since 1969. Second quarter, Dan, more of the same. Are you kidding?
This is by Marcus Spears. Marcus Spears has been telling everybody for 2 months, playing the Steelers, defensive line, get your hands up and get those tips. Greeny, I love this play from Baker Mayfield. Might be my favorite play of the night. Look at the effort right here to go get that first down near the end of the first half.
You think he didn't want it last night playing without his guru, without his play caller? And then he finds Austin Hooper, and it is 35-10 Cleveland at the half. So you figure that's a wrap. Well, actually, you'd figure wrong. Steelers had a comeback in them. Roethlisberger, Eric Ebron, when he decides to catch it, he's pretty good.
Absolute dime. Absolute dime by Big Ben as their offense got hot. We saw a lot of conversations. The aggressive fourth down call. He finds Juju crossing the field. Number four in their progression. Their offense got some rhythm once Big Ben took over.
35-23. They're right back in the game. But then this was the biggest play of the night.
This ends it. This is the game ender. An awesome situational play call from the stands by Kevin Stefanski. Chubb and that offensive line operates it perfectly.
And then for good measure, Ben Roethlisberger throws his fourth pick. So here are the numbers on Ben. 47 of 68, 501 yards, four touchdowns, four picks, in tears as he walks off. Baker Mayfield and the Browns, what a win.
We're here for a reason. There's a new standard, and I keep talking about it. No, I wasn't here for the things that have happened in the past, some of which I was too young to even remember. And there's a new standard, and we're going to, you know, try and keep it that way.
A dominant performance like this, what does it say about who you guys are? Who are the Cleveland Browns right now?
We're the Cleveland Browns.
Same old Cleveland Browns.
That's what Juju Smith-Schuster called them on Wednesday, and now those words come back. So much to say. Orlovsky, I'm starting with you. With everything this team has been through, how would you describe what the Cleveland Browns accomplished last night?
That's the most impressive win I have ever seen in my life. In my life. I mean, this is a team that hasn't practiced football in 3 weeks. They're going on the road against a 12-win team that has absolutely dominated them for more than 15 years. They don't have their head coach. They don't have multiple assistant coaches. They're without multiple starters. And they did it because their offensive line was absolutely clinical. You talk about an offense that wants to run the football. Be good on the front side, great on the backside. Watch the backside here. Treader and Conklin. Vision, don't block the blitzer. Look at Treader's block to get out in front and Conklin to find that second-level linebacker to give Kareem Hunt that cut. And then the physicality to finish. I love that one. This third and three is remarkable. You get motion, but watch the backside again by this offensive line. Conklin, Treader, you go get that backside linebacker. Conklin, cut off. Now, Treader, you go get a body on a body on a body on a body. That's how you finish runs in the red zone in his offensive line. J.C. Treader and Wyatt Teller and Jack Conklin and David Njoku. They were remarkable yesterday. It's the most impressive win I've ever seen. I have no idea how the Cleveland Browns won that football game. It shows remarkable leadership and a lot of leadership from their quarterback. If this was another quarterback who did what he did last night, we'd be sitting here going, oh my gosh, look at the leadership. They don't need their head coach. Baker Mayfield has grown up before our eyes this year. An incredible win by the Cleveland Browns.
RC, my resident former Steeler, what are your first thoughts this morning?
You know what? That the Cleveland Browns look more like the Pittsburgh Steelers historically than the Pittsburgh Steelers did. And obviously, I'm a former Steeler, right? So you want to focus on the Steelers. So if you do that, you say that the Steelers looked frantic, but the Cleveland Browns were poised. You say that the Steelers looked unprepared, but the Cleveland Browns looked like they had been in their building for the last 3 weeks working overtime. It looks like when you see the Cleveland Browns, they're the team that's ascending and that the Steelers are the team that is descending. And that's the truth. The Steelers have a quarterback that is old. The Cleveland Browns have a young quarterback who is now finding himself and finding his role as a leader. And when you think about what the Cleveland Browns did to the Pittsburgh Steelers last night, here is the most telling contrast to me. The Pittsburgh Steelers looked soft and the Cleveland Browns looked physical. When this was the black and blue division, when this was the division that you had to get your nose blooded in, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens sat atop that. Now the Cleveland Browns have put their name there. It's not always about the execution. It's not always about being prepared. Sometimes it's about looking the man across from you and looking in his face and saying, you can't beat me. Saying, I'm going to be more physical than you. And by the end of the night, you're going to wear it on your face more than I'm wearing it. And that's what we saw from the Pittsburgh Steelers last night. The Cleveland Browns came out and decided that they were going to take it to them, and the Pittsburgh Steelers wore it, and they're going to have to wear it for the rest of the offseason. And while they rebuild this offense, they'll remember that whipping that sent them home.
Rex, you were saying to me as we were walking in here, where was the tone for this game set?
Juju Smith-Schuster, he set the tone for this game. When he said, oh, yeah, same old Cleveland. Well, guess what? It ain't same old Cleveland, all right? And he said it like they were still the old badass Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, you ain't them. Ryan talked about it. You guys are soft. You don't even run the dang football. You got bloodied. You got beat to a pulp in this game. And right here, one team was ready to play. How the hell can you not be ready to play? This team doesn't even have a head coach out there. And they came out and said, oh, really? Thank you, Juju. We are now going to play the best damn game of our lives. And you're going to witness it. And you did witness it. So shut up. Because, look, I've made some dumb comments and stuff like that before. But I'm going to show up at least. My team's going to show up. Your team never showed up. And that's the difference right there. If you're going to say some stupid thing like that, all right, your team better show up. And they didn't have your back. Nobody had your back. That team came out flat. And here's how they came out. They came out like they were a 1-5 football team. Oh, that's right. That's who they were. That the worst thing happened to Pittsburgh was that they were 11-0. By the grace of God, the only reason. That was a 500 football team. All right? That team had no business being that way. But they thought that, hey, this is us. We're the big bad Steelers. No, you're not. You better dig deep and look into yourself. You got to change your dang offense. You got to change everything. But the mentality is missing in Pittsburgh, and it's always been there since as long as we can remember.
It's very well said. Look, they were 11-0, and since that time, they basically played one good half in six games, and they find themselves one and done in these playoffs. As far as their legendary quarterback, I gave you the numbers. He threw four picks last night. After the game, he talked about his play and his future.
I need to apologize to them for tonight and the rest of my teammates for the way I played. You know, I still have a year left on my contract. I hope the Steelers want me back if that's the way we go. And there'll be a lot of discussions, but now's not the time for that.
Well, actually, I disagree. Now is the time for it. And Adam Schefter is the man to have that discussion with, our insider extraordinaire. You'll be with us through this morning because there are a lot of stories to cover today. But we start with this one. What do we know right this minute about Ben Roethlisberger's future in Pittsburgh?
Greeny, you heard Ben Roethlisberger right there say there'll be a lot of discussions. When he says that because right now Ben Roethlisberger is slated to have the single highest salary cap figure in the NFL in 2021 season. Did he look like a guy last night that is slated to have that figure? There it is, $41.3 million. And by the way, that'll come in a year in which the salary cap is projected to drop. And so the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to need salary cap space. So where does that come from? It comes from Ben Roethlisberger. And that's why he says there will be discussions. In terms of him playing, I've been told over and over by various people that he intends to play, wants to play, will continue to play. And I can't imagine that he's going to want to go out and end his NFL career after a performance like that on Sunday Night Football to go one and done in the postseason. And so those discussions will commence this offseason. They'll look to lower that cap number, and we'll see where the two sides get it.
All right, Shefty, stay close by. And those tears in the eyes of Ben Roethlisberger were telling last night. That's a guy who knows it may be coming to an end, and this might have been his last great chance. Much more on that game as we go. Meanwhile, let's go to another game from yesterday. And we got the Ravens, we got the Titans, we got Lamar Jackson looking to get off the schneid. These are teams that genuinely hate each other. And Dan, picking up with Tennessee's second offensive drive was awfully impressive.
Incredible, just fight for the football by A.J. Brown. The inside slot fade, you got room. Big body catch by number 11.
And then later in the first quarter, Lamar throws this very bad interception. You're thinking, oh, no, here we go.
I hated this play call from Greg Roman. I was furious with it. It's a bad throw by Lamar, but that was not the opportunity or the moment for that play action pass.
But then Lamar turns everything around with this play that demonstrates he is one of one.
Greeny, listen, this is a good defensive play call, double spies. They play it relatively well. It doesn't matter. This is Lamar Jackson seeing a seam and going, I'm the best player. Look at the burst of speed. He's running by everybody on Tennessee's defense. Just an incredible play by number 8.
They would get back and tie the game at halftime. Remember, they were down 10-0. Third quarter, more from Lamar. His running was the story of this game.
Yeah, ball to the perimeter. You see that zone read. Get that defender to just hesitate for a second. And then the speed around the edges was a huge part of that second half drive. And then they finish it. Follow that big fullback. J.K. Dobbins has got his seam pushed from the offensive line. A great start to the second half from Baltimore.
17 unanswered. They're back in front. Fourth quarter now. It's 17-13. Tannehill on a 3rd-and-2. That's incomplete to Jonnu Smith. Mike Vrabel elects to punt in that situation instead of going for it on 4th down, and the Ravens make him pay. That's Jackson keeping it himself. 136 rushing yards. They would kick a field goal, so 20-13. Under 4 minutes to go. 3rd-and-1. Derrick Henry stuffed. He had only 40 yards worth of rushing. 4th down, Dan. They got to go for it. Tannehill does. This time he gets it.
I like the call with the quarterback sneak. I like the aggressive call. This was necessary. Good push initially by that offensive line. I think he's going to regret this throw all season, Greeny. It's a great play by Marcus Peters. He's got one-on-one coverage up top to A.J. Brown. He goes down to the bottom of the screen. Marcus Peters plays a great vision on the quarterback, and it's an incredible pick and celebration by Baltimore's football team.
They come out and they celebrate on the logo, and they get a 15-yard taunting penalty for it. And frankly, that was not smart because this game was not over. They needed a 1st down to run out the clock. But of course, they would get it. And the best part of this play for Lamar Jackson is the end of this play. Taking it down, inbounds, Ryan Tannehill knows that's your ball game, folks. Victory formation for Lamar Jackson for the first time in his
postseason career. 24 years and 3 days old, and there's no love lost between these two teams, and there would be very few handshakes. Lamar taking it to the locker room. The Ravens taking it home, 20-13. What a win for Baltimore.
We gave a game ball to Lamar and really the whole team, backing him up and having his back for his first playoff win. It's something that he won't have to talk about in the future, and that's a meaningful thing.
Just my 3 year in the league. And it's I don't really care what people say. You know, I'm just happy we got the win, you know, to move on in the next round. That's all.
All right. And so, Ryan Clark, I will start with you because there's so many places to unpack this game. But I think the first one has to be with the young quarterback. The narrative had been he can't do this in the playoffs. What is the narrative now?
He did that. That's what the narrative is. The narrative is he went out and he won the game his way. That it wasn't this virtuoso passing performance where he worked outside of the numbers and we saw things from Lamar Jackson that we had never seen. Nah, we saw exactly who he was. We saw that you need to get 45 yards. You don't have to throw it down the field 45 yards. Just give him a crease and he'll make it happen. That when you're trying to salt away the game, that there's no runner in the game that's more feared than Lamar Jackson. And John Harbaugh said something to me that I didn't really catch yesterday that I just heard again. He said, you know, I gave a game ball to Lamar Jackson and everybody having his back. Think about the first time when John Harbaugh had to walk out on the field by himself and nobody had his back. And subsequently, the Tennessee Titans come out and rush for 133 yards with Derrick Henry and he seals the game with a great run in overtime. Guess what? They had his back this time. Guess what? Instead of letting John Harbaugh go out to the middle of the field or to the logo by himself, they went and got that 15-yard penalty. This team played with a different mindset yesterday. This team played like it was personal. It was personal because it was the Tennessee Titans. It was personal because it was Derrick Henry. But it was personal because they felt disrespected. Their quarterback had been disrespected. And Greg Roman said, you know what? We're going to believe in you, Lamar. We aren't going to panic. We aren't going to ask you to change down 10. We are going to let you do what you do, and the rest of us will have your back. This was a monumental win for the Baltimore Ravens, for their quarterback, and now it's time to just go play football, and this team has a chance to advance.
Yeah, they're going to Buffalo next weekend. And Rex, you were telling us before the show that this was a team that saw what it needed, a move it needed to make during the offseason, and that may be the reason why Derrick Henry ran for 40 yards.
Yeah, yesterday. Absolutely, and that's why, I mean, some moves that are made in the offseason, we don't really, you know, focus on or we don't see the vision for it. Eric DaCosta, who replaced the legend, Ozzie Newsome, he gets it. Mm-hmm. Calais Campbell, he goes out. Well, I'll be dang if we're going to get bullied again because they got bullied the last time these two teams played. Now, Wink, what do you need? I need a big man in the middle. Well, guess what? I got Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams, by the way. You don't think that made a difference? How many times has he hit at the line of scrimmage? Right. Almost every single time at the line of scrimmage. The longest gain was 8 yards. It was a complete butt-whipping from jump. Why? Because of the move Eric DaCosta made. Get Calais Campbell in there. Brandon Williams is healthy. And you know what? You ain't going to bully nobody, my friend. Baltimore Ravens don't get bullied. And that was when we had that discussion. And I told you guys when they needed to win 5 in a row, watch out for the Baltimore Ravens. And they could go all the way. We're going to find out.
Are there so many different places to take this game, Dan? But for you, what was it about? You got the defense. You got the quarterback. So many different places to look. What was this win about as far as you're concerned?
This game's about Lamar Jackson. I mean, this game's about Lamar Jackson. This game's about a young quarterback that shut up a lot of lazy haters. A lot of people that said, Lamar Jackson can't win in the playoffs. Lamar Jackson can't win without the lead. He can't win unless he gets to play on his terms. These two plays win the game, 3rd and 9, end of the first quarter. They get blitzed. The blitz wins. No one's open. Scramble, make the play to Mark Andrews. 3rd and 9 again, you're going to get, again, this is the blitz. That blitz wins. He gets home. Does it matter? I say it all the time. Do you go above the X's and O's? Lamar Jackson did that. This scramble. This is a good call by the defense. Look at the safety spying them. Doesn't matter. Byard, you're a great player. Not great enough on that play. Those two plays win the game. Without those two plays, Baltimore loses. I love it. Their defense was remarkable. Without these two plays, they go home losers yesterday. And it wasn't because Greg Roman dialed up a great scheme. It wasn't because they outsmarted the defense. It was about Lamar Jackson being the best player on the field. It was about Lamar Jackson going, no, it doesn't matter. I'm better than you. And the conversation that we've had about Lamar, that some people that have had about Lamar, was he can't, he can't, he can't. And there's been some people who have thought he could. Rex, you're one of them, thought he could. There's a difference between knowing and thinking. He now knows. Like, he now knows he can do it. His team now knows. His coaching staff now knows he can do it. Baltimore Ravens defense was incredible yesterday. Yesterday's game's about Lamar Jackson winning on the big stage in adversity.
There's so much more to be said about this game, as we will. We also have to get into some coaching decisions that were made on the other side of it that went a long way towards deciding it. But at the end of the day, that seems like the right place to start. The narrative had been about all the things Lamar Jackson hadn't done. That narrative is now dead forever. We are just getting rolling on Get Up. What a busy morning we have coming. Still on the way. The Saints are marching on in the playoffs. One member of the Bears should be sent packing after yesterday's performance. We'll tell you which one as we continue. And then, of course, tonight is the night. Alabama, Ohio State. We'll tell you the one thing the Buckeyes have to do if they want to keep Bama from rolling to another national title. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on Get Up. And a lot of people really enjoyed watching the Bears and Saints yesterday on Nickelodeon. And when this one was over, Dan Orlovsky, Sean Payton got slimed.
That's awesome. Well, Sean Payton, way to be a man of your word. I loved it. It was awesome to see. Hopefully a bunch of kids did. Mine did. But this is super cool by Sean Payton.
Left his shoes on. I want to say that was sort of a rookie mistake there. When being slime, I think you want to lose the shoes. Anyway, tonight is the night. Alabama, Ohio State. We'll tell you the one thing the Buckeyes have to do if they want to keep Bama from rolling to another national title. That is on the way. And speaking of that game, here we go, Rex. Sneaky Hembo's coming for you. Which team has the record for most points scored in a national title game? That goes back to 98. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
My new show debuting on January 11th on ESPN Plus will be called Stephen A's World. We'll have expert analysis.
Yes!
Signature debate panel.
Yes!
And can't miss interviews.
Yes, yes, yes.
Sign up now at ESPNplus.com.
OK, Okay, well, that is going to be
all. Okay.
Here we go. Saints Bears yesterday. Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, all active together for the first time since week 10. And, Dan, you can see the difference in their offense early.
Yeah, ball coming out on time, third down. Drew Brees with great timing. Then look at that. Michael Thomas, catch and turn. The ball placement, catch, turn, early touchdown for New Orleans.
So 7-0 Saints, but the Bears' defense played well, and then the offense made this one perfect play with one exception.
Greeny, it's a great call. It's a great throw. Mims, get your hands together. Get your elbows together. You look like Ryan Clark trying to catch his football. Look like his elbows separated. You've got to catch it on the road in the playoffs. RC, get your guy right.
That is a devastating miss for a Chicago team that needed to make things happen. Then Mitch Trubisky on a fourth down runs out of bounds for reasons known only to him. But the Saints go into halftime up only 7-3. This is a game. Third quarter now. Third and 15 Chicago. Trubisky's going to throw an incomplete pass. That's not the important part of the play. Watch what happens after when Anthony Miller gets himself thrown out of this game. Dan, this was a day where the Bears did a lot of really dumb things.
Yeah, a lot of really bad penalties. You're going to see Anthony Miller retaliate there. We get told from a very early age, the second guy is always going to get caught. It happens again to the Bears.
And then Brees is going to make him pay. This is early in the third, and this is Michael Thomas again.
This is an incredible adjustment by Michael Thomas. It's a great throw by Drew up high, but Michael Thomas turning back. Greeny, this play is about not panicking with the football. Just a remarkable job of Latavius Murray getting up after blocking, but Drew knowing where he's going to be, not panicking, and just that quick little dump off.
That made it 14-3, and then in the fourth quarter, this one puts it away. Kamara for the touchdown. The Saints fans are saying, we want Brady, and that's who they will get next. You didn't see a lot of Bears offense in that highlight because, frankly, there wasn't a lot of it. The Saints, with the win, they move on, and so let's talk about it. And I guess we should start with the Saints. And Ryan Clark, I will come to you. Does that look like a Super Bowl team now that they have that offense back together the way they want? Are the Saints a Super Bowl team?
They are a Super Bowl team. Now, does that mean they finish the deal and get there? They still have some tough games to play starting this week with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And when you could play defense like that where your leading sack rusher, Trey Hendrickson, is not playing and you can still put pressure on Mitchell Trubisky, you play great on the back end, you stop the run, in which the Chicago Bears have been doing better toward the end of the season. That's the type of defense that gets you to the Super Bowl. That's the type of defense that wins playoff games. And then you look offensively, obviously having Alvin Kamara back on the field, having Michael Thomas on the field, Drew Brees being surgical in the underneath passing game, also hitting a couple of passes deeper down the field than Michael Thomas, you start to kind of feel good about where this team is. And so going into this week against a team you've already beaten twice, you have to think that if you're Sean Payton, if you're Drew Brees, you are telling your locker room you have exactly what it takes to make it to the Super Bowl, but you have to continue doing what you do best, which is play great defense, protect the ball offensively, and then get Alvin Kamara in space and give him opportunities to make big plays.
All right, so we will have all week to talk about the Saints. Dan, let's talk about the Bears, whose season came to an end yesterday. What is the first thing we say about them this morning?
Time to move on. It's time to move on from Matt Nagy and Mitchell Trubisky, because yesterday was kind of the same thing that we've seen for 3 years. Championship-level defense. Defense that consistently shows up and good enough, and the offense just doesn't get it done. The fourth down that Mitchell Trubisky does not sell out for, I have no idea how he doesn't try and dive to go get that. The offensive line lacking in protection, not having a great plan versus the pass rush for New Orleans. Greeny, Hembo sent me some really interesting numbers, okay, with Matt Nagy. In the 3 years of him as their head coach, he's coached 50 games. They've scored one touchdown or less 18 times. Mm. That's bad. That's more than a third of the time they've scored a touchdown or less. The Jets, the Jags, and the Bengals are the only teams that have done it more. So yesterday was the final straw. Chicago, you got into the playoffs and made it a conversation, but you answered it yesterday. It's time to move on.
Rex?
Yeah, when I look at it, I think what they're going to do is move on from Mitchell Trubisky. But I'm with Dan. Look, I've never been a big fan of this Nagy guy. And quite honestly, it's because of the way he handled the Trubisky thing. Mm-hmm. He put everything on him. I mean, he's the guy they blame everything on. Well, why don't you look at yourself first, man? I mean, dude, you scored 3 points in this game. I mean, I know it's nine, but no, it was 3 points.
Right.
And quite honestly, you're an offensive guru. That's why you came here. And those stats that Hembo just put up and Dan talked about, That's not acceptable. And you've gone to the playoffs, you know, two out of the last 3 years. Congratulations. That's because that the NFC is a hell of a lot weaker than the AFC. But when I look at this, you know, your guy at Northwestern, yep, Chicago kid, that fits better. Because this guy, that plays in Chicago. This guy, I mean, I don't like him. I don't like the way he doesn't take every damn bullet for him. That's your job as a head coach. You don't make your quarterback take every bullet. You take the dang bullets, and that's why I don't respect about this guy.
Look, he has been trying to move on from Mitch Trubisky a million different times in a million different ways, and if he stays, he's now going to get his chance to try and coach a third different quarterback. He was brought there to turn Trubisky into a star. Then he brought in Nick Foles, and we saw how that goes. And if he stays, it does seem like they're going to go a different direction. Pat Fitzgerald is the coach of Northwestern you're talking about. We'll see how all of that shakes out. More on that game as we go. Meantime, to the college game tonight. And Rex, again, sneaky Hembo wants you today.
Yeah, he does.
National championship games go back to 98. Which team has the record for most points scored in any of them?
Yeah, man, I mean, this is like impossible. But the obvious thing is to choose Alabama. Why? Because they won so many of them, right? And then he knows I've got Clemson roots, so he might say Clemson. No, I'm going to say Ohio State, and I have no idea why, but I'm going to say them.
Well, you thought the right way. You thought of going away from the teams you thought he would make it, but it's actually USC. It was USC, scored 55 points in the 2005 Orange Bowl. Hembo feels pretty good. I will say this, that was a tough one to hang on Rex today. But it's appropriate because tonight is the game. Nothing new for Bama and the Buckeyes as they go head-to-head tonight, considering no two schools have appeared in the national title game more often in this era. Nick Saban seeking a record-breaking seventh national championship, while Ryan Day can become the seventh coach to win a title in his first two full season. So the coaching matchup, the pedigree of the programs, outstanding, and so are the quarterbacks. Mac Jones and Justin Fields making this the first ever title game between starting quarterbacks who rank top two in the country in total QBR. The scene could not be set in a more perfect way or in a beautiful spot as you take a look at Miami, which is the site of tonight's game, Alabama, Ohio State. We've got it covered from every possible direction for you here all day on ESPN, starting right now with that man, David Pollack. Thank you for getting up with us. And so let's look ahead. David, what matchup are you most looking forward to tonight?
I can't wait to watch how the Buckeyes defend the Heisman Trophy winner, Devontae Smith. I mean, it's been fun to watch over the year. Everybody takes a different approach, and everybody fails. So, you know, you got the best playmaker in college football, a guy that can catch it short, a guy that can catch it long, runs great routes. It's kind of stinks, Greeny. I'm a defensive guy, and I love to be able to draw up matchups to have success, but you know, you want to take away the RPO game, you play man coverage and stay inside of him, and then they throw it over your head. So you can't win. It stinks, but how they play Devontae Smith will be the first thing I'm looking for in the game.
Yeah, some people call Ohio State DBU because they have so many great backs there. We'll see if anyone can slow him down. Okay, let's simplify this as much as we can. Just finish the following sentence. Ohio State will win the game tonight if
they dominate the trenches, and that sounds very normal. You know, whoever wins the line of scrimmage wins, but if you watch the Clemson game in the semifinal, that's why Ohio State's here. Their defensive line owned Trevor Lawrence. 18 pressures, 7 different guys had those pressures. I mean, coming from all over the place, Tyreek Smith going to have to play big. He's looked the part the last couple years. Coming into his own, going to have to play enormous. But when I look at this Buckeye defensive line, they can get to Mac Jones, make Mac Jones move off of his spot. And by the way, the other side of the football too, Wyatt Davis and company, that big old offensive line, physical, nasty. Trey Sermon's been running the football. It's going to start up there if Ohio State has a chance.
All right, and then so very simply, the other side, Alabama will win the game tonight if...
Tell you what, when you look at Alabama, it's so impressive because they have so many pitches they can throw to you, whether it be Najee running or Mac Jones throwing and spreading the ball out. When you look at Alabama, though, how about their defense? I mean, we haven't talked a lot about their defense because they've given up a ton of big plays, but can their defense hold some serves? Like Greeny, this is tennis, right? Can they hold serve a couple times? They can win the game, get it back to their offense. It's not a team that's built on defense anymore, but they're going to have to get 2 or 3 or 4 stops, get that ball back to their offense, and then it's go time because their offense has been the most complete offense in all of college football the whole season.
Right, and so to that point, I actually want to flip it around. Alabama, and no one stops them. It is a question of slowing them as best you can. So give me a number. How many points does Ohio State need to score tonight to win?
48. I think they got to get 48 points. And I know Rex's trivia question was 55, and maybe Alabama flirts with that, Rex, and gets them close to that. But I just, again, this offense doesn't have deficiencies. It doesn't have weaknesses. But I do think you've seen through Alabama this season, though, Ole Miss put up a bunch of points. Florida put up a bunch of points. But Justin Fields and company are going to have to put up 48 if they want to win this ballgame.
Go ahead, Rex.
Yeah, David, hey, does Waddle play in this game? Because if he does, now you got two top five picks or top 10 picks in the NFL. So good luck trying to cover either one of those cats.
Jalen Waddle, the Alabama star receiver, been out with a broken ankle. Do you expect to see him tonight, David?
You'll see him in warm-ups, I guarantee you that, because Rex knows the defensive guy. If you just put that guy in warm-ups, you're like, another guy I got to pay attention to.
Hey, if I'm the new coordinator for Ohio State, I'm like, I'm sick, dude. Somebody else call this one.
Going to be a fun night. David, thank you. We'll enjoy watching your coverage all day long as we get set for the big one tonight, the national championship game presented by AT&T. Bama, Ohio State, 8 Eastern. We have you covered from every platform, TV, radio, digital, the Megacast. Don't miss it tonight. All over ESPN. Still to come here. Meanwhile, Tampa Tom and the Bucks took care of business on Saturday. Dan will tell you the one player who was the key for Tom Brady making another Super Bowl run. That's next. Get up on ESPN. Come on, get up.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Back on Get Up, and let me take you through the Saturday NFL storylines. We pick it up with Josh Allen. He was spectacular, completed over 74% of his passes as the Bills win their first playoff game since 1995. Meanwhile, in Seattle, Jared Goff threw for 155 yards coming off the bench, most by any player off the bench in a playoff win since Jay Fiedler back in 1999. And then in our nation's capital, Tom Brady leading the Bucs their first playoff win since Super Bowl 37. Brady threw for 381 yards, his fourth most ever in a playoff game. And that sets up this. A pair of 40-year-old quarterbacks will highlight next weekend the top scoring offense against the top scoring defense, a 2018 quarterback draft matchup. What a spectacular weekend next weekend figures to be as the NFL playoffs continue next week. And, you know, Dan, you were telling us this morning that there is one player that you believe is the key to Tampa making a run to the Super Bowl. Who is that player?
Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown has become an integral part of this pass game for Tampa Bay. We're talking about multiple touches. Now that he's settled in, he's gotten into the rhythm of this offense and he's got his feet back underneath him. Multiple ways to get him the football. He's winning on routes. That was the big thing that didn't happen when he first started playing to that's happening now. He's winning against man coverage. He's seeing the field the same way as Tom Brady in the zones, throttling when he needs to, sitting in between linebackers when he needs to. Last five games, Tom Brady to AB, 77% completion percentage. That tells me that Tom trusts him. 10.4 yards per attempt. So they're pushing the ball downfield a lot, and then five touchdowns. The last time that Antonio Brown was, like, actually on the football team, okay, not the first game back from sitting out for 18 months, but on the football team was 2 years ago in Pittsburgh. And they went on the road to play against New Orleans, and he had 14 for 185 and two touchdowns. He has become a matchup problem for this Tampa Bay offense. Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, who are you going to cover? I think he's a huge, huge part of this game moving forward this weekend.
RC, what do you think? That's Antonio Brown. Obviously, so many things have happened since the last time we saw him on a stage like this, but he does figure to be an important piece.
You know what? When you look at this offense, it was very Golden State Warrior-ish, right? When they won the 73 games, you felt like they could do anything. That's why we were so excited about Tom Brady. And then I kind of felt the same way I felt about KD going there as I felt Antonio Brown. I was like, oh, this is a luxury. No, this was a necessity. And we're starting to see that necessity play itself out. Because now Mike Evans, when he draws that number one coverage, you get to see Antonio Brown work on guys who shouldn't be covering him. He's still a number one receiver. And now with the play action game going, with the protection of Tom Brady being a priority for Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians, this team is different. This isn't just the seven-step drop team that had Tom Brady sitting back there like a sitting duck, because they realized if we keep this dude clean, he is still one of the best quarterbacks in the world. And when he gets pressured, he's more like Sam Darnold. And that's what they've started to do. The play action pass, they're keeping extra linemen in the backfield blocking Rob Gronkowski. And you can do that because 81 is on the outside now. This team is playing offense at a very high level, and they're playing very efficiently. This is going to be exciting to see them go up against the New Orleans Saints, who have been their kryptonite this year and, quite frankly, embarrassed the Tampa Bay Buccaneers the last time that they met. This is a different Tampa Bay team, also a different New Orleans team. This is the matchup of the weekend, and I can't wait to see it.
The combined age of the quarterbacks in that game is 84. years old. We were looking, we'll have all week long to look forward to that. Meanwhile, I've got Adam Schefter with us all morning long here, standing by to run the hurry up. And let's run through some coaching stuff to begin here. What is the latest on Urban Meyer, Schefty?
Bud Green, he's begun assembling a staff of assistant coaches should he decide to take the Jacksonville job. The two sides have been in contact. He was on the boat Friday night with Shad Khan, Tony Khan, going over the job. He's considering to mull that, but he is assembling a staff that includes some college coaches in the event that he does decide to make the jump to the NFL. And as Chris Mortensen reported on Sunday Countdown, Doug Peterson is scheduled to meet this week with Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie after the first meeting between the two men did not go exactly great. I think Lurie's looking for more answers. And as Mort said, Doug Peterson's future right now is in the balance, and we'll see what they have come out of that meeting, but it is not certain that Peterson is safe in Philadelphia just yet. And as we also talked about on Sunday Countdown, Deshaun Watson really unhappy with the way that events unfolded in Houston last week. And people could say, oh, it's an overreaction, it's early, but I was told that if his anger level was a quote-unquote 2 last year after they traded DeAndre Hopkins away, his anger level now is at a 10. And it's at a 10 because the Texans went to him for advice and recommendations on what to do going forward. He gave some feedback that was basically ignored during the process, and it was ignored in favor of bringing in someone else from New England after they've had a history of people in New England, leaving Deshaun Watson very unhappy. He's been on vacation. He hasn't spoken to the team. My understanding is that this is going to be a long-term deal, that he may want to be traded. He may opt to withhold his services. And again, it's early in the offseason, but this bears watching, Greeny.
Yes, Nick Cazario is the man they've hired to be their general manager at this point, and there is a head coaching vacancy there. Fascinating. Rex, you were there on Sunday Countdown yesterday, obviously. What is your big picture take right now on Deshaun?
Yeah, I just thought it was crazy. I mean, number one, I get it. If you bought a franchise, then you can hire whoever the heck you want. I get that. But why would you go to this young man and say, listen, I want your input, and then just and totally disregard it?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to say that he's going to be part of the process, then allow him to be part of the process. And so to me, it was just it's a bad look either way. And, I mean, could you imagine if you trade Deshaun Watson? This is one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and he's young. And, oh, my God, you're going to trade him? Like, that blows me away. It absolutely blows me away. But you might not have a choice. I mean, if you never had to bring him in. That's what I don't understand. He never asked you to bring him in to make the decisions.
Right.
Why the hell do you treat? You tell him you're going to listen to him, and then all of a sudden you dismiss it. I don't know.
Go ahead, Danny.
I think they're going to have to trade him because I don't think he trusts anybody in their organization. He's a top five quarterback you can win multiple Super Bowls with. Now, the question isn't who should call. The question is who shouldn't call, because there's only seven teams in the NFL that shouldn't call. Seattle, Tampa Bay, Green Bay, Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City, and the Chargers. Those are the only teams in the NFL that I could sit there and tell you justifiably don't call. The 24 other, they need to call Houston and figure out what's it going to take. What is it going to take? Because every one of those other 24 teams should sit there and go, we can absolutely upgrade. It's worth it, whatever they want. I don't care if it's four first-round picks. It is worth it to go get him. Multiple Super Bowls you can win with Deshaun Watson.
Oh, heck yes. Shefty, he has a no-trade clause, yes?
Yeah, well, it's his word on that no-trade clause, Greeny. In other words, the Jacksonville Jaguars could say tomorrow, I'm trading Deshaun Watson to, you come up with the team, the Philadelphia Eagles. And Deshaun Watson could say, I don't want to go to Philadelphia. I want to go to Miami. He dictates the no-trade clause. They cannot trade him without his consent, and therefore he is in control of a trade should a trade arise.
All right, again, Shefty, who last week told us that the Cowboys might be the most interesting storyline of the offseason. This stuff never ends. All of a sudden, all eyes on Deshaun. Houston, you have a problem.
As Green, we continue, I should have here, said huge Texas. Hour. Just watch Texas.
Okay, exactly right. The state of Texas is the place to watch. Let's take a break. Coming back, huge hour. We're going back to the Sunday night stunner. How Baker and the Browns' huge win changed absolutely everything about the NFL playoffs and more. That's next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.